And we're just moving right along in the Holy Ghost right now. We're just in the perfect position. This is the perfect will of God. There's a wonderful anointing flowing, and I don't feel like going any further. I just want to give it to him. Let him come and just tell us what the Holy Ghost has put on his heart. Everybody that wants to hear from God tonight, everybody that's going to participate with the Word of God tonight, praise God. Praise the Lord. If you're new, let me explain this to you. If you're new, the Word of God is like seed, and you've got to open and receive it. The Word of God is coming to you, but you've got to say, yes, that's mine. I'll take that. I claim that. I lay claim to the Word of God. We appreciate Brother Godwin, the awesome, awesome friend in the kingdom, brother in the Lord, used of God all over this fellowship, just happens to show up where the great revival is being poured out all over our fellowship. And we're so blessed and excited to have him here this weekend. And I just want him to take his liberty and do the work of the fivefold ministry God has called him to do. Praise God. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Well, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on, somebody ought to praise him for his excellent greatness. Amen. High five three people around you and say, the devil should have took me out when he could. But I'm alive, and I'm going to give him praise. I got you moving me tonight, Bubba. I'm going to preach about you all over this country. And I'm going to find me some dead, boring, locked up folks that can run and won't. Because I promise you, if he could, he'd run. Oh, somebody ought to run for him. One service, he may just jump out that chair. Woo! Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, great crowd here on... Amen. Saturday night, we give honor to your pastor and his wife. How many of you appreciate Brother and Sister Sutton? Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here. We don't have to take too long, so let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And in the middle of a very familiar story, if you've been around the church very long, allow me to read a few extra verses for those that are new. Amen. I feel like, amen, this church is on the brink of a great, great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. In fact, we plugged into a big revival up in Annapolis, Maryland, Brother Wright's. And they wanted me. I had this scheduled, and I canceled a lot of things. And so I called Brother Sutton to just kind of see where we were. Sometimes we put stuff on the schedule and things change at the church, and sometimes it's not as ready as we thought it was, or it's more ready, or it already happened. And he said, no, it's right there, it's time. And I said, well, I said, what do you think? He said, we need you to come. So here we are. Amen. So amen. And I believe it is the will of God to be here. And amen, let's just see what the Lord will do. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 8 down through verse 17. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. That literally, that's just a real scholarly way of saying he was spared or saved over and over and over and over again. Look at somebody say, he just keeps making a way over and over and over and over again. Amen. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants, said to them, will you not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel? He was suspecting that there was a mole in the camp, a traitor. Somebody was telling Israel his plans. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, Elisha is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, that they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answers, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. One more verse of scripture, 2 Kings 7 and 5. The story continues. Most of the time when this, either one of these texts is preached, it's preached separately. But I want to show you tonight, the next few minutes, that it actually goes together. Four lepers set outside the city between the besiegement of God's people and the Syrian army. And they say, if we sit here, well, I sit we here till we die. And verse number 5 says, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host. Everybody say, God made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. Everybody say, the noise of a great host. They said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of Hittites, the king of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Amen. Sitting over here. Amen. I got a lot of paper up here, but the Holy Ghost spoke this word to me. Angelic engagement. Angelic engagement. Amen. Your pastor, amen, said that he felt like tonight was a setup for the weekend. Now, is there anybody here that's never received the Holy Ghost talking in tongues? You'd like to have the Holy Ghost for the very first time. Anybody? You don't have it, you'd like to have it. All right. If you don't have it, amen, and you're not sure, maybe by the time I get done, you'll want it real hard. And if not, I believe this is the beginning of a great series of services. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I don't know. There's Brother Sutton right there. Brother Sutton, while standing over here, you told me earlier there's quite a few of the young ladies that are expecting. Let me see the hand of all the young ladies that are expecting children in the natural. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of them. Amen. Five is a very apostolic number, the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Five represents the hand of God. Paul said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to prophet with all. The word manifestation is phanerosis, which means the festive hand or dancing hand of God. Five wounds in the body of Christ. Amen. Five, it's an apostolic number. While I was standing over, the other thing the Lord said to me, that what is happening in the natural is a sign of what's going on in this church in the spiritual. And so, amen. I don't know about you, but you might ought to put your hand over on your belly and say, I feel something kicking. I'm preaching to a pregnant church tonight. Oh, I thought I might could just say amen right there. I said, I'm preaching to a pregnant church. Oh, you've been taking seed, and the seed is conceived. And oh, there's a revival growing in you. Come on, high five somebody and say, we're pregnant with revival. Amen. Lord bless you. And you may be seated. Amen. I thought that might give us an altar call right there. But anyway, amen. Holy Ghost said it's going on in the spirit. Angels. Now let me just give you a few notes here for a minute. And then, as they say, we'll hoop. Most of the places when you go and you mention angels, there comes a scary, ooh, kind of a spooky feel. But it's always amazed me that whenever we turn around and say there's devils in the house, man, the church goes, come on, get their fighting clothes on. People put their dukes up, man, ready to fight the devil. Let's go to prayer meeting. But something when we say angels of the Lord, we just kind of get. And we shouldn't be that way, because Scripture clearly teaches that God dwells between the cherubims. Before God created light, before God created firmaments, before God created earth, planets, and cosmos, Before he created any other life form, he created the angels. The angels were created to worship and praise him. Lucifer was the lead angel. He was, according to job description that God gave him, to cover God. How did he cover God? He covered God with praise. He was also given a throne, which is a type of authority, and a kingdom. That's why I believe in Revelation, the Bible says, when John the Revelator gets the vision, he says there was one throne. If there was always one throne, there was no reason to clarify that there was one throne. But there was a day when there were two. God had one and still has it, and Lucifer had one. Amen. Thank you. I got one right, but I am right. Amen. Because the Bible says Lucifer, most people think that God created the devil, but amen, God did not create the devil, because everything that comes from God is good and perfect. And in God there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. So he couldn't make something as beautiful as an Alabama day and then turn around and make something as wicked as the devil. Lucifer and his creation was also perfect. According to the scripture, his pipes were prepared in him. That's his voice and his tabrets. The word tabrets is literally, I saw someone swinging one around here, literally means a skin-covered tambourine. There was something about Lucifer's physical makeup that gave the sound of a skin-covered tambourine. And his job description, of course, you know this, was to lead this innumerable host. Everybody say innumerable host. Of angels in worshiping God. And the Bible says that these angels would say one to the other, he's holy. And one would look at another and say, he's holy. And they would say, he's holy. And he's holy. 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 That was praise. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Angels, an innumerable host, an incalculable number of angelic beings would say, he's holy. He's holy. And Lucifer would direct, and maybe one side of the innumerable host, he would cut them off, and the rest, he's holy. 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 All over heaven, they just having choir, man. They just. And that's all it was, until God said, man, this is cool, but it's forced praise. And they don't have any choice. This is why I created the angels. But I wonder what it would be like to have somebody like me with a will, a creature made with a choice that could be going through hell and high water. Amen. And maybe couldn't have full activity of his limbs, but he could move his shoulders and his head a little bit, and he would give me praise. He'd say, I things hadn't been going my way, but I give you praise. I'm alive. I'm on the top side of the ground, and I give you praise. And so it was in the midst of all of that, that I believe in the midst of that worship, that the creative power of God is activated, and he began to cry, let there be light. And there was light. So it is a revelation. I'm preaching to a praise church. Don't have to touch it long. But there's an element, there's a moment in praise when the creative power of God is activated. When blood diseases can disappear, when tumors can be popped like a balloon with a pin, and hey man, lame limbs could be made to straighten out, and ankle bones could receive strength immediately. You say, I've never seen that happen, but there is a praise that activates the creative juices of God. Amen, 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 amen. I know a brother J.J. Bourne down in Houston was just preaching up in Indiana, and he looked over at a man that had been in a severe car accident, and his arm had been cut off right at the shoulder, and they rushed him and tried stopping the blood, and without thinking, forgot to grab the arm and got into the emergency room, realized his arm was gone. Somebody said, go get the arm. They went and got the arm, sewed it back on, and of course it was there, but it was lifeless. There was no muscle in it. The wreck had just tore the muscles and tendons from the arm, and it was just attached there. And in the middle of the service, Brother Bourne looked down at the man and said, lift up your hands. And he threw up the good hand that he had, started waving it. And he, when he got done, he said, I didn't say hand, I said hands. And the man, of course, quickly said, well, Brother Bourne, I can't. I don't have any tendons. I don't have any muscles. He said, I didn't ask you that. I said, just lift up your hands. And he began to move his shoulder. I thought about this when I seen you wiggling over there. And he began to move his shoulder a little bit. And until obviously he said, I said, lift it, until him and his elbow started moving, and then all of a sudden his arm popped up. No tendons, no muscle, no ability to do it. Come on, somebody. It was in the middle of praise. It was in the middle of worship that a creative miracle happened. Amen. Went back to the doctor the next day. This was a couple of years after the wreck. He went to the doctor the next day, and when he walked in, he was moving his arm, and the nurse said, "You're not supposed to be doing that." He said, "I know. Go get the doctor." The doctor said, "What in the world happened?" He said, "The man of God during worship service commanded me to lift my arm." He said, "But you don't have tendons and muscles. You can't do that." He said, "I know, but look at it. It's working fine." Come on. I'm talking about there's something about praise that looses creative power in God. Oh, so I don't know who you are. If you need a miracle tonight, I'd go ahead and give praise to God. I wouldn't worry about what somebody next to you was thinking or saying or what they would do. Amen. I'd do something because I need a creative miracle. I need old things to be passed away and all things to become new. Man, you can be seated. I feel it. Creative power of God. I've seen it happen. I was up in upstate or up in Connecticut. One of the first churches we assisted in, a little elderly lady by the name of Sister Henry came to the altar. She had on her left wrist a big knot right on the outer part of her wrist. Looked like about the size of a good-sized golf ball. And it was right there on her wrist. And we only had about 40 people in there. We didn't have this good of music. We had a little upright piano and lady on the organ. We wish it wasn't there, but that's best we did, the best we could. That's better than no music, I guess. It was about the equivalent of a joyful noise. And her attitude wasn't good most of the time, and that really tainted it, but we just had to get by with it. And it was in the middle of that it was sincere anyway one night, and it was powerful. Sister Henry got out and came to the altar with her hand up, asking the pastor to pray for her. He grabbed the oil and put oil in his hand and grabbed her wrist and began to pray, and faith sparked in the building. Other people began to pray, and finally, after people kept lining up, he finally let go of Sister Henry, and I just stood there. I was fresh out of Bible college watching her wrist, and when he let go, she started moving her wrist, and I grabbed her arm, and that knot was completely gone. I stopped her. I said, "Sister Henry, look at your wrist." And when she saw her wrist, a 60-something-year-old lady began to run the aisles and dance as God, in the middle of praise, caused that knot to completely disappear. Oh, come on, Birmingham, I've got a word for you. Amen. God said it's engagement time. It's engagement. There's supernatural engagement to happen in Birmingham. You may be seated. So Lucifer in his, you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it for those that's never heard it. It was in that moment that I believe Lucifer began to say, "I will exalt myself." If this exalting of God does this to him like Simon the sorcerer, when he saw them lay hands on people and they received the Holy Ghost, he offered them money because he wanted that power. He wanted that ability for himself. It was all about him. And Lucifer said, "Well, if this worship will do this to God, then maybe that worship will do this to me." And God said, "Not today, you won't." And like lightning from heaven, Lucifer, the anointed cherub of God with throne, authority, and power, and rulership, and control in the heavens other than controlling God, is cast out of heaven like lightning, 186,000 miles per second. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven," and Lucifer became the devil. Revelation 12 says that he took with his tail, that old dragon took his tail, and with that tail in one swoop, he took one third of an innumerable host of angels with him. And the cry from John the Revelator is, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down to you with great wrath." The word wrath is violent passion and vehement anger. It is no accident that when Lucifer attacks into a home, into a marriage, into a family, that he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. We see the destruction of his entrance into this atmosphere in Genesis 1 and 2, when all of a sudden in the middle of creation, the earth is without form and void. One of the prophets declares, as God moves upon him, "I did not create the world or the earth without form and void." The words literally means a waste place, a desolate, desolation place. God did not create the world in desolation. He did not create the world in waste. It's literally, it is thrown into chaos and confusion upon Lucifer's entrance into this world at the speed of light. He breaks into this world with destruction. That's what happens when Lucifer comes into the human family. That's what he does when he attacked Adam and Eve. He brought destruction. He brings destruction to teenagers' lives. He gets them hooked on a nicotine cigarette, then a joint, then a little cocaine, then a little crack, then a little heroin, then a little PCP, then a little angel dusting. And it just goes on and on and on and on because he comes to destroy. So we're in a city that has been attacked, a world that has been attacked by satanic influence. But there is only one third of those angels that have left the throne of glory with Lucifer. One third of an innumerable host. That simply means if one third of an innumerable host left, that means two thirds of the angels of God remain. So without putting God in the picture, we got two good angels to every bad angel. I got good news for somebody. I don't care what hell's doing to your life. I don't care what hell's tried to do. Hey, man, it's been two good angels to one bad angel. One writer said, you can be seated of angels. Their nature is limited in sense, for they are spirits. Hebrews 1 and 7 through 14 says of them, they are wind-like in velocity, subtle in nature, capable of communicating with God. 1 Corinthians 15, 44 has seemingly but not certainly they have bodies. Hebrews 1 and 14, they are sent forth as servants to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. We like to quote that are the heirs of salvation. We want them all for ourselves. But I got news for you. Amen. And the Holy Ghost wants me to remind you that you have angels at your disposal. Not just for you to say, I've got angels. But God said you need to send those angels after the lost. You need to send those angels after those who shall be. You need to, amen. Come on, somebody. You can be seated. I'm going to have to get through my notes. Amen. And so, amen, this was the condition of our text. I got lots of notes, but let's just get right to the point. And this was the condition of our text. Syria comes against Israel, and the king of Syria plans ambushments in his bedchamber. He gets his private soldiers together, and they begin to make plans, and they go set up an ambush, and they're on the way. They get there. They think Israel's coming a certain way, and they get there. And by the time they get there, they all of a sudden are picking their teeth and twiddling their thumbs because Israel doesn't come by. And it doesn't happen once. It doesn't happen twice. It doesn't happen three times. But time and time again, Syria sets up an ambushment against the people of God, but they get away. I wonder if somebody, amen, has a praise that you would like to give, amen, because the devil planned for your demise, but God sent a word through the man of God and got you out of a tight spot. Come on, somebody. Oh, there's lots of preaching here. Sometimes we're worshiping God not because of what's happening. We're not worshiping God because of what we feel. We're worshiping God because we got away. And so it finally happens enough to the king of Syria gets his plumb ticked off. He calls them all back in. He said, I want to know who's telling the king of Israel my plans. I want to know which one of you have become a mole in the camp. Which one of you is a traitor? Which one of you have sold off, amen, private information? Which one of you is a spy? And one of his key men said, nobody, Lord. He said, well, then what's going on? He said, what you don't understand, there's a prophet down there in Israel. And that prophet talks to their God. And what you don't realize is that God, every time you get in your bedchamber and talk, God's got his ear down on your plans. He's got his eye on your map. He knows what you're doing. And as soon as God hears what you say in your bedchamber, he says, Elisha, amen, tell the king, don't go that way and don't go there because Syria's planning an attack. Amen, I don't know about you, but I want to give God praise because of the preacher that preached me out of my trouble before I got in trouble. I want to give God praise, amen, for the times, amen, that the preacher and the watchman on the wall, amen, got up and warned me before I made a mistake. Somebody ought to be thanking God that the preacher got a word from God and saved you in the nick of time. It finally upsets the king of Syria so much that he finally says, all right, if Elisha's a man that's spoiling my plans, where's he at? Reconnaissance comes back and they say he's at Dothan. King of Syria sits his men out and he encircles Elisha. They're in the tent. It's late at night. His servant Gehazi is there with him. Early in the morning, sun pops up. You can be seated for 30 seconds. Sun pops up over the rising. Gehazi gets up like a good servant, like a good cadet, good armor bearer. And he gets the fire going and he's got a good pot of coffee boiling. And he hears a little some noise and he looks up. And the little new sunlight of the morning glistens off of spears and shields and chariots. And he looks all around. And they are surrounded with the enemy. Rushes into the tent, wakes Elijah up, and he's scared to death. He's chewing his fingernails clean to the elbow. I mean, his knees are knocking. What are we going to do? Elisha gets up long enough to yawn, take a sip of coffee. Walks out and he sees him. I kind of see Elisha go, well. Look at him. If he was Cajun, he'd say, look at him shy, look at him shy. He looks at Gehazi. And he says, fear not, son. What do you mean, fear not? He said, they that be with us. You know, we can say we got faith, but it's another thing to look your enemy right in the face and speak positively and confidently above that. I see what's around me, but trust me, son, they that are with us are greater than they that are with them. Gehazi, like a bored saint, probably looks at him like, what you talking about? Elisha tucks his head back, closes his eyes and he says, Lord, open this boy's eyes. Let him look into the next dimension. Let him look into the real world. And let him really see what's going on. I don't know how long it took. My brother down here praying for touch with his nerves and neurological situation, and they no more got away. I seen him grab his arm. I don't know if it was tingling went down his arm or it's all gone. You feel good? It tingles, but it don't hurt. That's because it's all coming back. Hey, man, I don't know how long it took, but I kind of see that servant kind of going. And when he looks, the hills behind the Syrian is surrounding all of the enemy, chariots of fire. Now that's all we read. Wait, now, what good is just chariots of fire? But when we look into chapter 7, we got a clear understanding. It wasn't just chariots of fire, but it was the word host. The word host appears. And the word host, literally, if you begin to look into Scripture, Psalm 68, the word appears again. The Lord gives his word, and great was the company of those that published it. The word company here is the same word for host. Verse 17, it even comes out host. The war chariots of the heavenly host, plurality, meaning a myriads. The word host in the Hebrew literally means thousands of thousands. Again, thousands and the doubling of thousands. Somebody say the doubling of thousands. Brown, Drivers, and Briggs commentary says that the word host literally means thousands of repetitions. Thousands twice fold, redoubled, twice told, thousands, and repetition of thousands. Let's say it again. How many angels was there? Thousands of repetitions. Thousands twice fold, redoubled, twice told, thousands, and repetitions of thousands. That's a bigger number than you can count. When he opened his eyes, there was a host of not just chariots of fire. Elijah saw one chariot was caught away in one chariot of fire. But now when Gehazi looks, him and the hills are covered with chariots of fire. Him and how many was there? Thousands of thousands and thousands twice fold, redoubled, twice told, thousands and repetitions of thousands. Amen. I've come to tell somebody, amen, that this church is surrounded with a host of holy angels. Now you can be seated. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm not trying to hype you. I've got a word from the Lord for you. And that's most of the time where we stop. But the story goes on. Because Syria eventually besieges the people of God. They're in lockdown. It gets so bad they cut off their supply lines until the scriptures declare, amen, that they were eating horses' heads that were sold for 40 pieces of silver or $500, and they were eating a cab or a cup of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. It's pretty bad whenever you're eating dove's waste. Y'all know what that is? People all over, thank you. I had one confident, yeah, the rest of them is kind of like, yeah. I won't even explain it. You just go get a dictionary. Hallelujah. I mean, they're in lockdown, but outside the city, according to the law, they kicked out 4 lepers. There's the people of God in the city. Here's the 4 lepers outside the city. And then outside that is the Syrian army. And beyond that are the angels. Thousands of thousands, the redoubling of thousands, thousands twice fold thousands, and repetitions of thousands of angels. They've actually been there the whole time. I mean, when Syria went from trying to lock Elisha down to locking the whole city down, angels are just going. When I read this story, this is what hit me, Brother Sutton. What good is this innumerable host of angels surrounding their enemy if now the enemy has been there long enough that it's literally besieged the city till the people of God are eating horses' heads and doves' dung? One lady's ticked off because she cut a deal with another woman and said, look, we'll boil my son and we'll eat him. And as soon as we're done with that one, we've cleaned that one up, we'll take yours and we'll kill him and boil him and we'll eat him. They shook hands on it, wrote a covenant with each other, and they took the first boy and they killed him, boiled his flesh, and they ate him. But when it came time for another, when they ran out of food, they went to kill the other lady's son, and she's not going to do that. I'm talking about cannibalism. Now, if we took the time to talk about all the sin and the mischief going on in Birmingham and all the mess, how bad the city is, how bad people's marriages are, the abuse and the rape. Every 60 seconds, a teenager committing attempting suicide. And every 90 seconds, one is succeeding. If we took the time to tell about every 11 seconds, somebody's infected with a sexually with AIDS virus. Every day, 35,616 are infected with a sexually transmitted disease. And that gets too heavy, so let's leave that alone. And so here are these angels. Chariots of fire. Nothing's happening. There's no deliverance. They've been there long enough till the city is turned into cannibals. And outside the camp, there are 4 men. I need 4 men. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come quick. Set in those chairs. 4 lepers. Losing tips of the nose. Fingers falling off noses. Got white spots all over them. They're scratching and itching. Now, y'all scratching itch. Sit down. Y'all scratching itch. I mean, they losing fingers. Their earlobes are falling off. Tips of nose. I mean, they're weird. They can see big old holes through their head. The nastiest. I mean, the law said when you got 100 paces from them, they had to holler out, leper! You kind of went, umgawa, umgawa. And so here they are in lockdown. Here they are outside the city. And then here's the enemy surrounding them. And then outside them are the angels just going, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. Until finally it gets so bad that these lepers have a conversation. And they say, you know what? They say there's food down there up there in the Syrian camp. There's nothing down here in the city. They're eating each other. You know what? And they begin to talk. And they said, you know what? Why sit we here till we die? I mean, we're dying anyway. We're losing parts of our body. We're expelled from the camp. We can't see our family and our loved ones anymore. And we're out here starving to death. But at least we can slip up in the night up there to the camp. I said, you know, if we die here or if we go up there and die, what difference does it make? We're going to die. Look at somebody and say, you ain't got nothing to lose. Who? I wish I had time. You ain't got nothing to lose, amen. You've tried Jack Daniels, you've tried cocaine, and you tried sin, and you ain't got nothing to lose. You might as well try this. I mean, if you just stay where you are, you're going to die. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, you ain't got nothing to lose. Hey, man, you might as well die trying. And so here these angels are still out there going, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. Chariots on fire, flames burning off of them. And all of a sudden, these four men, the Bible said, got up. Get up. And as soon as they do, they head for the Syrian camp. But by the time they get into the camp, God caused them to hear the sound of the host. All they did, Brother Sutton, was get up. All they did was bust a move. All they did was acted in a little faith. All they did was put forth a little effort. And as soon as they moved, the angels of God were engaged. And over in the Syrian camp, they said, my God, what's that noise? Amen. Israel's become allies with Egypt. And the high tides, my God, they sent the armies against us. And they ran out. I mean, they didn't pick up swords. They didn't pick up spear. They didn't pick up Canali suits. The ladies didn't pick up their St. John dresses. They didn't get their Louis Vuitton purses. The men didn't grab their St. John or their Johnson Murphy shoes and their Bally and Gucci shoes and their Louis Vuitton ties. They just said, my God, we got to get out of here. And the four lepers, come with me. They come walking up into the camp. And there ain't nobody there. It's kind of, my God, what's all up in? I wonder what's in here. Well, looky here. Food, my God. I won't take it. They probably got that in order. My ABI training's coming out, though. I want to do a drama. And there's food, and there's gold, and there's silver. And they take it, and they go running, and they dig a hole out there in the desert, and they bury it, and they run back into more tents, and they get more gold and more silver and more food. And they run back out and dig some more holes, and they bury it, and they run back in there, and they get some more, and they go back and dig holes, and they bury it, and they go back, and all of a sudden they stop, and they said, you know what? We do not well if we do not tell. We need to go down there and tell them. The Syrians are gone. There's food. There's gold. There's silver. There's raiment. Your clothes are rotting off of you, but there's everything we want is up here in the enemy's camp. The enemy's besieged you and took everything that you have. Amen. And shut you down until everything's beginning to rot. But everything you need is up here in your enemy's camp. Do you get the story? Amen. What I've come to tell you is that the angels of the Lord are waiting on this church. Amen. It's time for this church to make a move. Amen. It's not just 9,000 flyers because you want to have a good weekend of revival, but God's calling this church to a new level now. It's time for you to make a move with a revelation that when I move, the angels are dispatched in my behalf. The word engage means to entangle, to draw into, to cause, to enter into the conflict. This church, I've been coming here for years, and I feel a freedom here. The last time I was here, something happened. There was a connection we made, and I told you I've been waiting on that connection, and I feel it here now. God is about to break this church. When I drove on the parking lot, Brother Sutton, amen, I sat over in the parking lot in the truck, and I told the driver, I said, let me just sip my coffee here a minute. And I began to look at the parking lot. I look at the building, and a thought came into my mind. This thing's about to be the biggest church in Alabama. It's about to be the biggest apostolic church. Not for our glory, not for our credit, not so we can win the Sunday school contest, but there is a faith here. There is a praise here. There is a prayer here. There isn't a spirit of evangelism here. And God said, I'm about to cause this place to be enlarged. So I'm finished preaching. I've come to tell everybody here, get ready. Your angels are waiting on you to move. Quit being depressed. Quit being discouraged. Don't be despondent another day. If you'll get up, God will send an angel into your enemy's camp. I'm done. Look at somebody and say, we're surrounded with angels. You can stand. I'm finished. We're surrounded with angels. We're surrounded with angels. There's about to be a move of God. I'm telling you, Brother Morgan preached about it last night in San Diego. There's about to be an explosion of the miraculous. And you might as well get ready for it. I wouldn't be shocked, amen, to come in here. And one day this brother, I'm telling you, amen, all of a sudden he's shaking his head and that arm's going to go up in the air. I wouldn't be shocked not one second. Come on, somebody. You say, oh, Brother Godwin, you better be careful. I don't have nothing to lose. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. Some of your family members, amen, pray through in the next 30 days. Come on, I'm prophesying to somebody. You better get ready. You got family about to pray through in the next 30 days. Amen. You better come on. Some of you don't act like you believe that. But I'm telling you, God's saying all I need you to do is begin to move. And the angels will minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation. So we're not all hyped up right now, but I want you to look at somebody and say, you need to bust a move right now. You need to bust a move right now. I feel it right here. Come on, that's it. Come on, right there. Get her by the hand. Come on, get up here in this altar. Come up here, darling. Hey, man, you say, well, everything's okay, but it's fixing to get out of sight now. Hey, man, God said, I need you to bust a move right here. I need you to begin to believe like you've never believed. I need you to begin to trust like you've never trusted. You're about to hear another more reports of the miraculous. You're about to give a report of God making barriers. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to get you to shout. I've come with a word from God. It's time for angelic engagement. It's a call time to cause the angels to be engaged in this conflict.
Yay! Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. So I wish it was everybody. I wish it was everybody that believed it, but you know what? This miracle, Brother Sutton, came from four people that nobody expected it to come from. It didn't come from somebody inside the kingdom. It came from somebody outside. It didn't come from some pedigree Pentecostal. It came from somebody outside. It didn't come from somebody that had it all going on and everything was peachy keen in their life. It came from four guys that were broke, busted, and disgusted. It came from four guys that everybody else had kicked out. I don't know about you. You may not have too many friends, but you got some angels watching you. You may not have too much money, but you got some angels watching you. And all you got to do is have the faith to say, all right, I'm going to bust a move now. I'm going to pray intercessionally. I'm going to hand out 1,000 flyers. I'm going to get my praise on. Because when I move, the angels of God move. So I want you to lift your hands up right now in this house. And I need somebody that believes. Somebody that believes. The angels of God, innumerable hosts, are watching this church. He's watching every man in this building, every young man, every lady, every mother. Come on, right now. God, we believe it. We're in a supernatural atmosphere right now. God, I feel like you're giving this church an invitation. An RSVP notice. Hey man, I want to know, Birmingham, are you ready to come to the supernatural realm now? Are you ready to come to financial miracles? Are you ready? Are you ready for me to make bare the holy arm? Are you ready for me to open the windows of heaven? Come on, and pour you out a blessing. You can. Are you ready? Are you ready for that miracle? Are you ready for that person to be saved? Are you ready for that husband to be turned around? Come on, right now. Somebody said, what happened Saturday night at church? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And here's what we're going to do. Now, I want everybody that wants to be a part of this, I want you to get out of your seat. And I want you to, you don't have to be pedigreed. This good lady in the green just got the Holy Ghost. Come on, you can move as many angels as I can. Come on up here. Come on up here in the altar. You ain't got to be around here a long time. I want you to look at somebody around you and say, do you really believe? Come on, let them say, do you really believe that what you're doing tonight, angels are watching you. They're waiting on you to do something. Come on, angels are waiting. Come on, look at them and say, angels are waiting on you to do something. God's already here. But I'm talking about loosing angels now.
You say, Brother Godwin, are you lifting up angels over God? Absolutely not. But anywhere God is, the cherubims are. I want you now to, with revelation, say, tonight is Saturday night, but tomorrow's going to be a day of the miraculous. I want you to lift your hands, and while we head to the house to take a nap, angels are going to move all over this city. Come on, do you believe that? Move in that neighborhood, Lord. You see where they handed out the flyers. Move now. We came on Saturday night. People are wondering what we're doing here on this night. We've come to engage the angelic realm. Come on, your friends, your buddies. They're out at the bar right now. They're doing dope right now. But you're moving something in another realm. Yeah, man, the enemy's got them surrounded. But you're going to move the angels on their behalf. They're going to wake up in the night and say, you know what? I need to go to that church in the morning. Come on, you need to lift your hands up right now and begin to give God praise. Not according to the beat of the music, but out of a revelation. Come on, Hitabashata. Hikatamoshatata Yatamoshaya. Hilaramoshakata Ramoshaya. Hilaramoshatada Bahaya. Come on, Birmingham, you're about to spoil your enemy. You're about to plunder your enemy's camp. Come on, you're about to get blessed. God's going to bless you coming in and going out. Somebody's about to get a new contract at work. Somebody's about to get a blessing. Come on, right now. The enemy's been hindering it, but God's about to give you a miracle. They said you're not qualified, but God says you are qualified. Now reach over and lay hands on the person next to you right now. No hype. You agree with them right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're not the richest. We're not the biggest. But God, we believe. We believe. We believe. God, we believe. The gift of faith is in this house. The gift of healing is in this house. Miracle signs and wonders are in this house. This is a people believe that you can do anything and all things and that nothing is impossible. And now we lift our neighbor's hand up and we begin to give God praise now. We worship because we're about to plunder the enemy. We're about to spoil the enemy. I want you to lift your hands up high now. And I want you to begin to worship God with a loud voice.
I can't stop, no.
Somebody's husband's going to be saved. Some young man that's backslid's going to be saved. Come on, that's it. Praise
it. I can't stop praising. No, no, no.
I need some men that'll believe right now. I just can't stop.